Blog Talk Radio.
I hope you all heard that. That's what I'm going to say. Ah, and that rim shot was because I forgot to put in an intro for tonight. So the joke was on me. Yes. Hello, Laura, and hello, Pam. Welcome to the party.
Hey. We're going to just hop right into the fun, aren't we?
Well,
hey, what's the party without music?
What did you say, Laurent?
I said, what's a party without music?
A quiet party. It's one of those where you watch a movie instead.
The only thing you hear are the sounds of people eating their Thanksgiving meal. Everybody's quiet, hungry and munching. Sure.
That's how you know the food is.
There you go.
Oh, God. So, yes. Rizek, I called in and I went, man, I never grabbed an intro song. There's so much for being prepared. Nothing unusual. But that's okay. It gives us more time to play around, joke around.
Later. Schmooze.
Whatever we get. Schmooze. There we go. Yep. Read poetry. Comment. You know, chuckle. I don't know. What kinds of stuff we can do? Oh, my God. So, yeah. I cannot stop yawning tonight. It just kind of awful. I don't quite know what that's about.
Just imagine what it's going to be like after you have that turkey tomorrow.
Oh, my God. If I'm lucky, I'll be awake to eat the turkey tomorrow. It's awful. It is just awful. Gosh. Look, there's a turkey in the room. There's a turkey
That's
in the
right.
room. Gobble, 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 gobble. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
And he's
gobble,
dancing gobble. To the music that only he can hear.
That's right. He fits right in. He fits right in now. That's the way a lot of us work. Hello, Harco Parco. I think it'll be a fun night. We'll have some.
Oh, absolutely.
Some fun poetry. You know, a little bit of devilish poetry. We have to give up the art of seduction portion of tonight and just go for the fun, because that's just the way it worked out. That's okay by me too, though. Doesn't really.
I told
matter.
You, very few people want to seduce a turkey. You know, they got weird desires.
I don't think any of those pictures call for seducing a turkey. There's a person behind every one of those turkeys in those pictures. But that's fine.
Well, you know, there probably are people who you can probably find websites, you know, for people who want to seduce turkeys.
Let's not go there.
10 years ago, I would have said you were crazy, but now I don't think you are.
I get enough.
All right, Miss Whoever.
All right, we'll behave.
Wow. I'll tell you, kinky stuff. Okay, where am I going? I'm going here. I'm looking at the board and seeing Friday's show, and I'm going, huh? Wait, wrong show. So, anyway, yeah, there's just all kinds of fun stuff happening. Pam's having more than the rest of us, I think, but I don't know. Well, I did not grab a song, but I did find a poem. So, I'm going to get a lot to read this poem. And then we'll flutter around from there. So, here we go. All right, whenever you're ready, so point of view.
All right, by the well-known cartoonist and poet, Shel Silverstein, Point of View. Thanksgiving dinner is sad and thankless. Christmas dinner is dark and blue. Maybe stop and try to see it from the turkey's point of view. Sunday dinner isn't sunny. Easter feasts are just bad luck when you see it from the viewpoint of a chicken or a duck. Oh, how I once loved tuna salad, pork and lobsters, lamb chops too, till I stopped and looked at dinner from the dinner's point of view. He is so sharp.
Yeah. Yeah, some great poetry he does. He does.
Now, if it tried to be longer, I don't think it would have the impact that this three-stanza piece did, you know?
I think you're right. If it had gone on too long, it would have kind of lost something, you know, maybe halfway, three-quarters of the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But that was enough. Yep. Good rhymer. It was fun. And, we're just chuckles. What'd you think, Pam?
Well, I think that, first of all, Lauren did a great read. I always enjoy Shel Silverstein's poetry. Now, was he a vegetarian or vegan? Does anybody know?
I don't know. I never had him for dinner.
That's true. Well, I thought maybe somebody might have read something about him. What I like about this is he knew, first of all, as always with his poem, you know, spot on rhyming. And he knew to keep it short, as Lauren had briefly mentioned. It just wouldn't have been the same if, you know, and you had mentioned it wouldn't be the same if it kept dragging on. Because, you know, honestly, I could easily see it starting to become almost preachy-like in the idea of somebody saying, hey, you know, don't eat meat. He kept it short. He kept it snappy. You know, he used humor effectively. And so just really just a great choice for tonight, Gene. So very cool.
Very good. I'm glad you both liked it. That is an important thing. It's an important thing. Let me see now. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just doing it. Let's see. Should we sing a song or do a dance in between here? Maybe.
The itsy-bitsy spider crawled up the water spout.
Okay. Down came green and white. No, I
don't songs.
I'm not sure how. Last month was Halloween. I'm not sure why we're doing itsy-bitsy spider, Laurent. Oh, my.
Maybe he eats spiders for Thanksgiving.
Maybe.
I was going to try and use that as the first line in a funny poem for tonight, but it went nowhere.
I
threw it out there to see if anybody else was going to finish it for me spontaneously.
Right.
Yeah, that didn't work.
I'm surprised you didn't have all kinds of major inspiration and have to run with it.
My brain has been on dead for the last 3 or 4 days. The words are not coming easily, trust me.
Gotcha. Yeah. I totally get that. Well, it's 10 after 10 almost, and we've got a poem in. Not bad.
Do we have any callers?
Nope. Us three, that's it.
Us three, nobody loves.
Yeah. I think Tom said he was going to make a cup of tea. I think that meant he was coming back.
Yeah, I asked because I saw Martha in the room a minute ago.
There's Tom, right on cue. Hello, Thomas.
Oh, there he is. There he is. Gosh, gee whiz. Shucks.
Tom Turkey is here. Oh, did I say that? Yes, I did.
How are you, folks? I hope you're all ready and geared up for tea day tomorrow.
If I was any better, I'd be twins. Same as every other twin.
Oh, my goodness. And the world would never be prepared for that. That's just too much goodness in one place.
I don't know about goodness, but they sure as hell wouldn't be prepared. You got that right, Tom.
I don't know. I have lots of gravy boats, I made a double dose of hollandaise sauce. And we cooked 8 pounds of broccoli.
8 pounds of broccoli?
Yeah, you got 20 people coming over, or better.
Holy baroni.
I've got a small family gathering. There's a few of us. The fun thing is seeing us all fit in the same house.
Yeah, right. That's a lot of chairs in my book. Lots of chairs and a lot of table space. It doesn't always come easy. But,
yeah.
You know.
And because there's one Republican in the entire group, we're no politics.
Well, I think you just make them sit in the kitchen.
It only takes one. Well, he takes it right personal, too, you know. It hurts his feelings.
Yeah.
He gets all pouty.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard, yeah, when you have one person.
Yeah, I know. Life's tough all over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's see now. How many people you have in Pam? Just three of you?
Just four.
Four? Oh, that's right. Four. That's right. I forgot.
Yep.
I beg your pardon. And me? Well, I'm not having anybody.
That's something to hold hands and have a say on.
There you go.
You can start bringing up the ghost of Thanksgiving cards, you know.
There you go. Yeah, with my luck, I'd probably bring up the ghost of the dead turkey. You'd be like, why are you eating me for dinner?
Yeah, right, you know.
Oh, my
you
God.
Killed just by bad stuffing or something.
Wow, that's crazy stuff. But yeah, I can imagine that being, that would be my luck, you know. And then that'll be it. We won't be
right.
Pam, you got to do a poem called "The Ghost of Turkey's Past."
Oh, I like that.
Go. Absolutely. Yes.
And then you can have either LaRonde or I read it, and our Vincent Price, you know, voices. We'll have it be deep and dark.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it should be read like
go.
Tiny Tim.
Okay.
It'd be funnier.
You know,
the turkeys.
Turkeys on the table. Da-da-da-da.
That is where we've
Paul
been.
Falsetto died.
That's terrible.
I know.
Terrible, terrible. Terrible. Tiny Tim. Now that was definitely a fella from, well, not long enough ago. Shame on me. I know there's a Tiny Tim lover out there that I'm going to be in trouble with.
Yeah, well, that was a man who was totally his own experience.
That was a man who made the most of what he had, however much that
absolutely.
Was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with a ukulele, no less.
Mm.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Okay, enough of Tiny Tim. He's had enough of our time and energy. Pam,
well,
I'm coming to you.
Enough of Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim was a tall guy. You know, he didn't get his name from his height.
Nope. Oh, he did not. No, he did not. And we're not going to venture any guesses
nose.
On how he did.
Nor his nose.
Yeah. Miss Pam, I'm putting the next one up for you, honey.
Yes. All right. This is A Turkey's Meal by French Girl, and it goes like this. Greta was caught the other day. We all know what it means. The farmer took her far away, to the kitchen, it seems. She was one plump, nice, curvy lass, maybe too beautiful. Her fluffy feathers had great class. Her cackle was so graceful. She will now be cut to pieces, the farmer's wife so mean. She will stuff her, add some spices, a bloody murder scene. The smell of cooking is divine, not that turkeys will care. Thanksgiving supper will be fine, the guests will eat their share. They will be thankful for the meal, the drinks and the stories that bring a wondrous glowing feel, forget all their worries. Tomorrow will be our own turn to enjoy this delight. The hens and turkeys will return to eating and to fight over some leftovers and bones and tasty bits of meat. They will agree in greedy moans that Greta was a treat. End poem.
Nice job. Nice read, Pam. Nice.
Well, Thomas, how about you? What did you think?
Oh, I like Greta. It's better than peanut butter and jelly, you know. This is cute. I think it's done quite nicely. Just enough cheekiness to make it more, a little bit better than clever. I mean, you know, she was one plump, nice, curvy lass, maybe too beautiful. Her fluffy feathers had great class. Her cackle so graceful. I mean, what more could you ask for in a bird? And she ends up being cooked 2 verses later.
Well, I felt sorry for poor Greta, because Greta looks ready to eat her own dinner. I don't think she realized that she was going to be the dinner. Now, this is a cute poem, type of thing that brings a smile to your face and a little chuckle. A clever little piece.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, wonderful rhyme and flow. A great write with like that nice dark humor. It was quite a twist at the end where it turns out that her brothers and sisters were all going to dine on her bones. So, I really liked the smell of cooking is divine, not the turkeys will care. Thanksgiving supper will be fine. The guests will eat their share. Excellent write and very well done.
Yeah. Even little Debbie, since she'll be cut to pieces, the farmer's wife's so mean. No.
Thank you, Pam. And Jane, back to you.
Okay, well, I think that this poem is just as great tonight as it was the first time we read it. Really well done, and thank you so much, Minstrel. Excellent. Excellent poem. Okay, now, where am I going next? Let's see, that brings me to Thomas, because Ron read first. Okay, Thomas, it's up on the board now.
Oh, okay, I got it. Our Thanksgiving Prayer by Buried Treasures. We thank you for Thanksgiving Day and for this food that came our way. We thank you for your holy word and all the boring sermons heard. We thank you for these candied yams my wife made with her dirty hands. And thanks for the potatoes, too, though they're moldy through and through. And thank you, Father up above, who granted us unselfish love by giving us our dog Absurd, who brought to us this road-killed bird.
Oh, my.
You know, these people have no right to have the happiness they have from this simple meal, but the author constructed this in such a way that no matter how bad it is, we're going to give thanks, but then worded it very funnily. On top of that, it's a classic little piece. I enjoyed this a great deal. Pam, how about your comment?
Oh, this is just, yeah, this is awesome. I enjoy the humor in this one. I like how, as you said, there's a look at being appreciative no matter what you get out of life. And I think what it's particularly like about this is it has that exaggerated redneck feel. You know, it just you know, with the ending of the, and, you know, thank you, Father up above, who granted us a selfish life, love by giving us our dog, Zerd, who brought to us this roadkill bird. But I got to tell you, there's no love like a dog's love. So that's an excellent rite.
Amen.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam and Tom.
Oh, it's better than what my dog would do. She'd keep it for herself. Mine's a complete and total brat. She believes that the world circles around her. This, I like the way she presented it as a prayer. For one should always give thanks, even for things that aren't that we don't necessarily feel thankful for, and recognize that, you know, something's better than nothing, and too often nothing at all is all that shows up. I utterly delightful in a lot of ways. I mean, we thank you for these candy jams my wife made with her dirty hands. God, it must have been written before cooking. And thanks for potatoes, too, though they're moldy through and through. I mean, you know, what you get is the best you're going to get, and better be thankful for it. It's better than nothing at all, right?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Jesus, we're hanging around too much. your turn, Gene.
I love Buried Treasure's work. And, you know, I have a concern. I haven't seen him in ages. And his last poem he wrote was 4 years ago. So wherever you're at, my friend, I hope you're all right. And I loved it, and I thought it was funny. And told only the way that Buried Treasures can do. He had a wonderful way with humor, and he shared with us a lot. So it was a wonderful, wonderful piece. And thank you for that, Al. I appreciate it. Definitely. So let's see now. I have another caller on the line, area code 667. I believe that might be Martha. Is that correct?
Yes, you are.
All right. Hello,
everybody.
Hear myself. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Yes. So, trying to think now. I have one up, Martha. And you are just in time to read.
I can't. I haven't got my laptop back. I can't read it.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Right.
My cord got flooded, and it took all the water in and died, so I have to get a new cord.
Oh, jeez. I hear you.
Okay, you think of the facility, you'd be safe from that.
Yeah. No, not always. Okay, so let me look here and see. Yeah, I think I'm going to do this one. Pam, here we go. I'm going to put this one up for you. And this is by Nicole Alexander.
All right. This is Pumpkin, Main Ingredient by Nicole Alexander. Nicole's like this. I see spices on the cabinet coming out. Hope I can get some of what this is about. If I don't, I will really be put out with a pout. I see spices on the cabinet coming out. I always ask for her ingredients and recipe. Sometimes the lady won't give them to me, so I ask her straight out to let me see. I always ask for her ingredients and recipes. I love the scene last night with the sweet kid. He gave me sight and lift, nothing was hid. Made me feel part of the family pumpkin bid. I loved the scene last night with the sweet kid. So why is the lady not meeting my inquisitive eye? Could she be feeling sick or maybe being shy? I want that main ingredient she is preparing, oh my. So why is the lady not meeting my inquisitive eye? End poem.
Nice read. Lord, oh Lord, pumpkin personification strikes again. Tom, can I start with you?
a nice little level of subtle wit here. I like how she brought it up nice and slowly. The personification of the pumpkin is done with a certain level of grace, but the humor and the wit is right into your face. Very well done. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, sir. And Martha, do you feel up to commenting?
Yeah, I thought it was a great poem. I loved the rhyme and the flow and the story. It was all just really good.
Thank you, Martha. Pam?
I like how there's a repetition of the first and last line of, in each stanza. I'm, you know, giving it a look as if it's a certain form, although I don't see anything in the AN, but I like that it has that natural flow and repetitiveness to it that really, I think, adds to the delight and the humor. And as you said, it's wonderful personification of a pumpkin. And what I particularly like about this one is with the personification, she set us up with a pumpkin that has felt welcome by everyone around him and loved by everyone around him. And then all of a sudden, he's feeling quite suspicious as to why this lady can't make eye contact with him. So just excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. It's never comforting knowing that you're about to become the main ingredient. Nice, nice pause there. Very nice use of humor. Back to you, Gene.
Okay, well, like you said, it was a good use of humor. I remember when we read this one last time, it kind of made me laugh, you know, because you're trying to put yourself in those shoes, you know, with that face on that jack-o'-lantern. Well, again, was like, oh, my God. Like that moment of realization almost was just drawn upon his face. So definitely, you know, well worth the fun. So let me see now. Thomas, I have one. No. Pam just read that. Laurent, I have one for you. If I get myself twisted up, I'll be in trouble.
We'll keep you straight. Don't worry.
Somebody's got it.
This is called Thanksgiving by John Coe. Pass the turkey, watch my plate. Elbows, sleeves, procrastinate. I want some gravy and a yam. Pass the green beans, Uncle Sam. Cranberry muffins, pumpkin pie. Crunchy onions, buttered rye. Roast potatoes, stuffing too. Pass the parsnips, Auntie Sue. Marshmallow topping, brown sugar soup. Sweet potato, onion hoop. Runny gravy, tablecloth stain. I'd like another roll, Aunt Lorraine. Every year I bake and slave. Grandma Jones is near her grave. 25 and counting more. People sitting on my floor. 12 hours to prepare this meal. No one knows the way I feel. It takes just 1 hour or less to devour this feast and make a mess. Thank you, Lord. Thanksgiving is done. My house is quiet. And I am one. My family ate too much again. And now they're high on tryptophan. End poem. Yeah. Some of the comic timing in these verses is very, very good. Pam, you can start us off.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed how it was all about passing around all the food, and there was humor to it for sure, but there was also that kind of nod to family togetherness. Every year I bake and slay, Grandma Jones is near her grave, 25 and counting more, people sitting on the floor. And, of course, that ending, you know, to do that near rhyme to tryptophan just worked really well. So absolutely. And I like how he refers to the sweet potatoes as marshmallow topping brown sugar soup, because that's pretty much what it starts to turn out like once you start putting all those toppings on. Now, me personally, I actually just prefer to keep my sweet potatoes simple, bake them, put on a little butter, little cinnamon, you know. But I know a lot of people, it's the family tradition to top with the marshmallows and the brown sugar and any other goopy thing they can think of. But excellent, right, and very well done.
You know, the marshmallows on top of sweet potatoes were created to get people to eat and use marshmallows.
Continue, Tom.
Oh, well, you know, I enjoyed this. I love the way he brought in the family, you know, Uncle Sam, Auntie Sue, Aunt Lorraine. Even though Lorraine might not like being rhymed with Shane. Even Grandma Jones was slipped in here. But he plays it really well with the great discussions of all the different kinds of food in the second and third verse and the comment about the number of guests and the mess and the amount of time it takes to eat it. Is only an hour, but it takes 12 to create it. I just thought I'd get all the high points and finishing with that last line, and now they're high on tryptophan, with just the right little touch to make it all sync to get come together and get a good belly laugh. Very well done, John.
Thank you, Thomas. And Martha.
I thought it was really good. I like the family emphasis and the food was great, and the rhyme was perfect with it. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Yeah, I like the balancing act that John had to perform, marrying ingredients to names. He did a fine job on this. That killer last line, got to appreciate that. Thank you, John. And back to you, Gene.
I think this is the epitome of Thanksgiving, isn't it? All the different menu items and family visits and, you know, passing things around. And then everybody's, by the time they're done eating the turkey, they're just done. Just done. Everybody's worn out. Nap time for everybody. I thought it was great. And thank you, John, very much. Much appreciated. I thought it was excellent. Okay, now Thomas, that brings me to you.
That brings me back. Okay.
Texas Tom.
And then we're looking at Texas Tom by Nobody Special. About to have a fit and feeling herky jerky. Perk up a little bit. Here comes the Texas turkey. Famous Texas with just a little bit shy, tries to make a hit when he winks his eye. After the wink occurred, he looked to see what's what, but that little old bird had done a turkey trot. Well, shut my mouth, I just do declare, that bird went south, won't stay out of my hair. About to have another fit and feeling like beef jerky, but with a smile on your lip, it was Texas turkey and poem.
Nice read, Thomas. And Martha, could you give us the first comment?
I really liked it. I liked the rhyme and the flow. It was just a really cute poem.
Thank you, Martha. And Pam.
The Texas turkey sounds like a dance. I really, really enjoyed this. I like the use of the phrase herky-jerky. I thought that was really cool. You know, I like how there's that wink. After the wink occurred, he looks to see what's what, but that little bird had done a turkey trot. Just really clever phrasing. And, you know, I just, I feel like this turkey should be in a bar somewhere picking up the ladies, because that's kind of what he sounds like. So, excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Tom, please.
Well, I think this is one of those pieces that's done with a real clever sparkle in the eye, a little bit of a dance with fang terms, turkey jerky and beef jerky, jerky trot, and a great sense of, hey, you got to play with what you got. I like that line of a famous Texas wit, just a little bit shy, tries to make a hit when he winks his eye. That just sort of sums the whole thing up. A little sparkle added to the eye. Very well done.
Thanks, Tom. Well, let's talk about a poem having a rhythm and a rhyme. This has a great rhythm, has great rhyme, and the necessary amount of humor. Nicely done. Gene?
Well, thank you so much. Thank you very much, very much. I thought this was a fun piece. I did. I liked the rhyme of it. I thought it, I don't know, it was fun. It was well written, it was fun, and it was nice. I enjoyed it. I got a super out of that when we did the contest. So it was definitely well written. And definitely made me chuckle, made me laugh. So excellent work, Nobody Special, and thanks for sharing that with us. Absolutely. Well, at this pace, we'll be done early. So
not possible.
We might have poems or something when we're done. We'll just move right into the next holiday, like they do at Walmart. I have another one for you, hon.
All right. This is Thanksgiving by Amber Rose, and it goes like this. Chop, cut, mix and stir, stuff, roll, knead and carve, browns and orange, colors rich and warm. Mom's giving heart tirelessly prepares, reverent heart reminisce for those no longer here. Sleepy eyes rise to turkey roasting in the air. Cornucopia displays family football games and silly games of charades. Food enough for a small army, invitations and welcomes to anyone not with their family. We're loud and funny, picking and joking, no details spared. Every recipe, dish, and delight made with extra special care. Traditional favorite, a time to indulge generations together in a spirit of love. Each Thanksgiving marked a year in our history. Those born, new loves, those gone, families, ever-changing recipes. Hearts full, heads bowed to pray, grateful spirits on Thanksgiving Day.
Nice.
Thank you, Ben. Yeah, well read. Well, a lot of these poems have been humorous and a little on the short side. This one goes into a little more detail and not quite so humorous, but a kind of a traditional acknowledgement of the kind of effort and love that it takes a mom's giving heart to prepare a meal, a Thanksgiving meal for her family, and you know, to wake up and smell that turkey roast and look forward to the family football games and the games of charades, the little things that we do on a Thanksgiving that we might not do on other days. And, of course, the food and the jocularity, and then the thanks for the year past and for those who are here, the new loves, those gone, families, ever-changing recipes. And I think that's a nice little phrasing to denote the addition and subtraction that happens to families on a regular basis. Nicely done. Very, very nice. I enjoyed that. And Thomas, please.
I think you covered rather nicely, though I do like that verse of food enough for a small army, invitation and welcomes to anyone not with their family. But you really think about it, this is something that I haven't seen another poem, but she touches on the fact that Thanksgiving is a time when we really do throw open our doors and, you know, the friend of a friend or somebody who couldn't get home with their family that you knew in college and you bring them on in, always welcome. It's amazing how Thanksgiving really is a time when we open wide our doors and try to make sure that everybody has a place they can be. And I think she catches that really, really nicely. Wonderful piece.
Thank you, Tom. I'm giving thanks for the fact that you actually found something to say after you said I covered it all. That was very good. You need to, you know, stretch out the comments a little bit, I guess is what I'm saying. Martha, please.
I thought it was really great. It reminded me of family Thanksgivings, and it just brought back some really nice memories, and it was a really great poem.
Thank you very much. And Pam. Ms. Pam, could you comment, please?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I like how this is all about not just the cooking, but the family togetherness and, you know, welcoming other people into the family. And I like how it mentions about where it says, the second last sentence, each Thanksgiving marks a year in our histories, those born, new love, those gone, family's ever-changing recipe. I was particularly drawn to that line, family's ever-changing recipes, because it just kind of, it makes me think about how it's not just, you know, the recipes themselves that can change as each new generation tweaks them, but the families themselves and maybe even new traditions pop up. I also like where she mentions the in the beginning with the chop cut mixture, you know, it's and the busyness. I think that's part of what, makes Thanksgiving such a fun time is when you're together, you're busy, you're just, filled with this kind of, like, joy of accomplishing things, of doing something special for family and friends. So really just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean.
Oh, I thought it was a great poem. I really did. It was nicely written. I loved the sentiment. It was not a humorous piece, but I knew that when I picked it up today. I thought it was just really nice. And, you know, Thanksgiving, we can all have a lot of fun. And I opted for doing the humor because I did not want to take away from tomorrow's show. So that's the best reason for the humor and the fun of it. And I think that it is a beautiful addition to the show. So thank you so much, Amber Rose. And yes. So that brings me to Laurent. And congratulations. She's got a brand new baby granddaughter sitting there with her. Lucky ducky. I love them babies.
Picture,
okay,
picture.
Here
we
go.
We want a picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're the best.
Right. This is called Completely Stuffed by Poeta de Cabra.
Mm-hmm.
Just stopped for a minute to read the Turkey Gazette. And how much worse can this unfortunate country get? People have no respect for chickens and turkey. Plain to see. What I've just read has knocked the stuffing right out of me. I was simply reading about cooking and the master chef. So-called Christmas dinners nearly scared me to death. Apparently got a turkey. Cut off its head and then pluck it. Some seasoning, prunes of bread. Up its bum do stuff it. For us old turkeys, seems we won't get any more lovin'. Says, put in a roasting pan, baste, then pop in an oven. Should come out of the oven tender and juicy, of course, than a mongrel's drowning in gravy or cranberry sauce. Wish I'd never got this paper. Wish I'd never looked. Feel a bit frazzled now, like my goose may be cooked. Can't run away with no feet. Can't even break into a hobble. And no way to scream for help. Afraid I can't even gobble. Yet I realized why I was fed so much, so quickly I had grown. Would have run away and starved myself, if only I had known. Certainly stuffed now, won't do much good to moan and groan. We'll just have to hope the humans choke on an old turkey bone. And hope. right. You know, Quetta doesn't disappoint. He really doesn't. God bless him. He's
never
got the real stuff here. He's got the right stuff with Thanksgiving humor. Thomas, please start us off.
Yeah, well, if you know, with the turkey, if it's the right stuff, it all depends on what your favorite stuffing is. I really thought this started off really nicely. Just stop for a minute to read the Turkey Gazette, how much worse can this unfortunate country get? And then it goes right into the whole thing about the chickens and turkeys. And just, he does a great job of building it really nicely and playing with all the, with the poor, what do you want to say, the ego of this poor turkey has somehow been scarred and permanently ruined for life because of the fact they just don't appreciate him for more than how good he's going to taste. I think it was done with a real nice sense of wit and tongue-in-cheek kind of thinking that just made it delightful. And that last line, we'll just have to hope that humans choke on the old turkey bone. What more can you say if you're going to be cooked and basted and eaten away? Very well done.
Thank you, Thomas. I actually was quite tickled by the way you married the image to the line. What I've just read has knocked the stuffing right out of me. It could have gotten a little vulgar there, but he didn't, and the image speaks for itself. Now, this is a great turkey personification again. Great last line, as Tom said. I just like the way each stanzas seem to cover one or two of the steps of the process of preparing and then eating and then finishing. He took it in nice order, gave a nice amount of detail. Every stanza had a little bit of light humor to it, even if it didn't seem to. Apparently, get a turkey, cut off its head and then pluck. That's a straightforward statement, but it made me smile. All right, then. Thank you, Poeta. And Pam, please.
I just got back. Sorry.
No problem. And Jean. No, Martha.
I thought it was really good. It was a really good perspective of Thanksgiving from the turkey's perspective, and I thought it was quite humorous and really fun.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Nice comment. Thank you. And Jean.
Well, you know, Poeta. He has got the wonderful sense of humor. He knows just how to build it up and just get you, you know, with his punchline. And it really was. I thought it was, but I love how he ended it. We just have to hope the humans choke on an old turkey bone. You know, that's the turkey can hope for, I guess. That's one way to get revenge. But, yeah, so thank you, Poeta. Always a pleasure to read your work. Always. Okay, Thomas. And again, that brings me to you. And this is by Haunted Memories.
Okay. The Fisherman and Beaver Hunter Tackle Thanksgiving by Haunted Memories. Our heroes head to the church to meet the preacher man. He is in a tough spot and needs a helping hand. The fisherman asks, "Tell us, old friend, what do you need?" Preacher man says, "It's Thanksgiving and we have no meat. In the orphanage, the children are starving. They have no food. Please go hunting and fishing. This favor, I need it from you." The beaver hunter ensures him, "You can count on us." They leave the church and climb up in the truck. The fisherman pulls out his phone and calls his old friend Gress. He can cook his butt off. He is one of the best chefs. The beaver hunter calls the princess and smiling angel too, says, "I hope you are all well, but I need a favor from you. The princess and the angel go to the local market. Veggies, fruits, and decorations are now their target. Moon pie and lollipop are back at the fishing shack, baking pies, cakes, and tasty little snacks. The beaver hunter drops the fisherman off at the lake. He heads to the woods. A deer and turkey he must take. He shot down two big birds and one huge buck. The fisherman calls him and says he has caught enough. They head back to the church to help dress, cook the meal. In their hearts, they are overwhelmed with all that they feel. A family brought together by the strength of the pen, always willing to pitch in and help family and friends. End poem.
Nice read, Thomas. Thank you. This seems actually to be part of a series by Haunted Memories, because she says, enjoy the adventures of the fisherman and beaver hunter, as they are the best. I haven't come across any others. I'll have to check that
it
out.
It is part of a series. If you look there, you can see
it. Why don't you go ahead and comment
then
and tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Oh, well, heck, I have no freaking clue. I just know it's part of a series. but I will be happy if you comment. I like the, first of all, of the fisherman and beaver hunter. From what I do know, the other ones that I've read, they usually involve humor and friendship. It's usually the two silly characters whose antics are a representation of friendship. And I've really particularly felt that in this one, but it's more of, not just about the friendship between the two of them. I felt like it was also about reaching out and giving. You know, I like where he says, the fisherman asks, tell us, old friend, what do you need? The preacher man says, Thanksgiving, and we have no need. You know, and I think instantly that's one of the first things about giving to people is don't give what you think they need. Ask, what is it that you need? And I like this all the way through. But I also really like the princess and the angel go to the local market. Veggies, fruit, and decorations are now their target. Moon pie and lollipop are back at the fishing shack, baking pies, cakes, and tasty little snacks. I feel like moon pie and lollipop would be the name of like some characters in a video game or something. But really, absolutely, just a delightful write that mixes humor and social commentary together to remind us about the importance of giving. So, very well done.
Amen.
Thank you, Pam. And Martha?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a real good telling of the spirit of Thanksgiving and how we all get in and help each other. I thought it was a great poem.
Thank you, Martha. Yeah, it's nice to see people get together to, in the right way, provide support on a special day, especially for the children. It's our breaks that all the kids who have nothing on Thanksgiving. And when I think of all the kids who have so much all the time, that Thanksgiving may be less than special to them. Tom, did you comment?
Yeah, I like this. I like this because it reminds me of the friends I have who make sure that every Thanksgiving they go down to the local shelters and help prepare the food and serve it up to everybody. It's become quite a tradition for some of the people I know at my meeting. And this has a lot of that flavor, the idea that, you know, when there are people in need and people who can't serve themselves in ways that we think are important, that there are those who are willing to get together and ensure that those people get taken care of as well as everybody else. I think it's rather beautiful.
Thank you, Tom. It is. And Jean, please.
It really is beautiful. It was all about that giving and that sharing community life. And I thought when you first put it up, I was like, what is this story? You know, I read the title and I'm going, what is this? And then as it went on, I was like, wow, what a gorgeous idea. You know, but I expect, I've come to learn that Haunted Memories is that kind of person. He's a very giving soul, so it was a wonderful job. And being said, let's see. Pam, I think the next one has your name.
Yeah.
Because it's Pam, Pam, Pam. It says Pam. I heard it yelling to me. I did.
All right. This is Thanksgiving at Grandma's house. And it goes like this. Leaves dancing wildly through the... by Earth Passion, sorry. And it goes like this. Leaves dancing wildly through the streets after the ghosts and goblins have chased each other for the sweets past docilely glowing pumpkins. The wind it howls and pushes adrift all its way till leaves on trees and bushes could cling no more nor stay. The gusts bring the first snowflakes going to Grandma's house where turkey pie and cupcakes delight to join our mouths. Our grandma, she's been cooking all day and baking pies, checking the roasting, the air is filled with spice. And Mirabelle the puppy's been sniffing such good food. She's anxious to pour her supper to soothe her ravenous mood. She circles around the oven, looking at the bird inside, her flaring nostrils hopeful, her eyes are open wide. And Jack's got one eye open, his whiskers in the air, poised to spring into action, alert his every hair. Roast wings, those are his favorite, a crunchy snack to boot, but any tasty tidbit will please his need for food. Now Grandma drags the roast beef out through the oven door. She sets it on the counter, her feet firm on the floor. She hears the bell and greets us all ready for the feast. We hug, we laugh, and say stuff. She's looking oh so pleased. The clatter in the kitchen announces an event. We stop, we stare, assessing the grisly scene at hand. Mirabelle's running a bird leg all through the dining room. Jack's licking on a roast wing atop his roost to groom. We all spring into action to catch the bird afloat. Mom's juggling the roast bin. I grab the gravy boat. Soon everyone gets settled, smiling into their plate. To give thanks is good living, and teamwork makes it great. Happy Thanksgiving.
Nice job, Pam. I like the little nod to the Grinch who stole Christmas by using the phrase the roast beast. Quite a few people have used that phrase over the years, derivative of the Grinch, I think. I'm not sure every family would have been as kind to their pets who came very close to spoiling the whole meal. You knew something was up when she mentioned the pets early. A little too much time spent on their looking and sniffing and smelling, kind of anticipating it. The way she did it, the way she handled it, was funny and skillful. I did enjoy it. And Martha, please.
I really enjoyed it. It was funny and it told a story, and I thought it was really good.
It was. Thank you so much. And Tom?
Well, I think this is, actually it sounds a lot like families I've known. Everybody gets so caught up in what's going on and then being around each other that they stop paying attention to what the pets are doing until all of a sudden one of them gets a little bit out of control and grabs something they're not supposed to. I found they're true to life in some ways and spun rather well. I like the way they got the rhyme to work and the way she cast the spell and the way she told the story. Very well done. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Tom. And Gene.
Yes, yes, yes. I thought it was a great, a great write. Very much enjoyed it. The same as the first time we read it. I thought it was just as wonderful today, and it says all the time. But sometimes, the catastrophe averted is, like, the best. opportunity to something to laugh about when it's over and done with. You know, crisis averted is the thing, but, you know, when the animals get involved and all hell breaks loose, you know, when it's over, you kind of wipe your brow and you get to laugh and say, wow, could have been worse. So you always walk away with a story when there's something that happens. Carry on to the next year and the year after that. Do you remember that year when the cat pulled the chicken, their turkey leg? Yeah. Yes, yes, I have a few of those stories, but we won't get into those. No, we will not. Nope, nope. Plus extra for those stories. Let's see now. Let me see. Yeah. I'm going somewhere. Oh, that's right. Okay, Thomas, did you bring a poem with you?
I can. I've got one.
Okay. Cause
which one are we up on today?
How do you mean?
On the board.
Sorry.
Is it the, I'm looking here. Today's the 24th. Thanksgiving fun? Art of seduction?
Yeah, but, you know, I gave up the art of seduction idea. We're just having fun now.
I never know.
Man, me neither. I'm never too sure what I'm doing.
You want me to stick it in the poetry for Thanksgiving Day?
If you put it on the topic board, that would be great for tonight, for the Art of Seduction.
Okay,
yeah.
Here, I'll put it right there.
Okay, I'm going to get Laurent to read his, and then I'm coming, and then we're going to go to Martha. So let me do that.
Okay.
Yeah, give me one second. Okay. Okay, Laurent, whenever you're ready.
All right. This is called In All Their Splendor. Breasts or thighs, which to choose? Not my choice, I hate to lose. Company's here with appetite. I can't gorge. I don't like that. Uncle Charlie's good for seconds, maybe thirds. His hunger beckons. Last year, he ate to the pain. Now he's back to do it again. Aunt Louise, thin as a rail. Her metabolism never fails. Where she puts it, I don't know. Chases it down with a nice Bordeaux. The twins are here, Bob and Frank. Both are built like a Sherman tank. Serious eaters by anyone's measure, as if digging for buried treasure. Focused on the task at hand, their table manners should be banned. Rooting in their food like hogs, nothing left to give the dogs. Past the plate, my turn at last. 3 pieces left, I'm aghast. I'll skip the thighs, however tender. I love breasts in all their splendor. End poem.
Nice job, Laurent. Thomas, you want to start us off?
Well, Laurent's never been known to pass up a good innuendo, has he? Exactly. I rather delighted this because for all of the additional thoughts one can take from the picture above and some of the lines here and there, it's really quite a lovely description of the people who participate in Thanksgiving. I love the Aunt Louise, thin as a rail. Her metabolism never fails. Where she puts it, I don't know. Chases it down with a nice Bordeaux. She drinks a good wine. and the twins, I just thought that it was the kind of thing that made me smile because I come from a large family, and we all could eat enough to put the faint of heart into a state of shock. And my father swore that we were hitting seconds before he'd ever gotten first. So I really enjoyed the way this one ran. Well done, Laurent.
Thanks, Tom. I got to admit that the first poem I put up for tonight was a more serious poem. looking at Thanksgiving from a COVID point of view. And I got a letter from the editor stating that my submission was not perfect for their audience, and could I resubmit? So I hastily came up with this one. Thank you.
Well, it's good that you did.
Okay. And Martha, how about you?
I thought it was a great picture of a family Thanksgiving, and I thought it was a really good poem. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Martha. And Pam, that brings me to you.
Oh, I really enjoyed this. Nicely written, rhyming couplet, a wonderful dash of humor, describing some people that are not familiar and yet fully familiar. And as we all know that person who has that wonderful, fast metabolism that we just envy so much, or the ones built like the Sherman tank, or the family that when you set food in front of them, they just dive for it. My ex-in-laws actually had a total of 8 children. And then as each one of their children got married and had children of their own, it could get to be chaos around a holiday dinner table. But definitely fun chaos. And I do really enjoy the humor. I love how the top line, the beginning and the ending have that wrap around. They connect with each other. I always feel like that's a sign of a well-accomplished poem. That usually right at the beginning, breast or thighs, which to choose, not my choice, I hate to lose. And then I'll skip the thighs, however tender. I love breasts in all their splendor. So amen to that. So excellent write and very well done, Lawrence.
Thanks, Pam.
Well, you know, Laurent, I thought this was fun. I thought it was well done. I thought it was a good take on that prompt. And in case anyone can't really make out the prompt, because it's not the easiest to read in the form it is now, it's got the image, of course, and it says the breast. Yeah, that's my favorite part, too. Oh, the turkey? No, I don't like turkey. So, definitely
I didn't
even a great
read the prompt. It was the image that got me.
Yep. Well, that's what it says underneath of that picture. See, just in case you needed to know. but yeah, it was pretty fun. Definitely a good piece. Well done. And thanks for changing it, by the way. The editor sends the regards. Yes. Okay, so now that brings me back to Thomas. Okay, Thomas, here we go. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. I think this is the only poem I've ever written on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving production. Get out the leaves. The extra chairs are in the basement. Set up the card table. Push them together. Folding chairs are in the hall closet. See your aunt about tablecloths. Don't forget the napkins and the rings around them at every setting. Do I have to tell you everything? The adults are at the big table. Me and your father, Nana and Big, both your Aunt Dot and Uncle Frank, as well as Aunt Susan, Cousin Rodney, and Dot's 2 older children. You are in charge of the kiddie table. No long face. Someone has to do it. Now, get busy. Hurry, everyone needs a plate. The aroma slipped and sauntered out of the kitchen. Stomachs became more and more anxious and hungry. Anyone trying to get into the kitchen was chased out before they could get anything. Don't spoil your appetite. The turkey, rich, golden brown, mashed potatoes, mound after mound, gravy boats full of aroma. Broccoli with hollandaise sauce, green beans with small onions, and mushrooms stirred all around. Sweet potatoes still in their skin, hidden in the bowl under a towel. Best thing to keep the heat in. Iced tea, water, or juice. Don't forget the biscuits. Are they still in the oven? Settle down, children. I told you to keep watch over them. A tap on the glass. Dance. stands up, make sure we all bow our heads. He seats himself as Uncle Frank. Please lead us in prayer of thanks. We are good little children to the last. Amen. The turkey is carved and plates are passed. White meat, dark meat, currants or jam. I keep eating and it seems there is no end. Bushes are raised, stories are told, seconds are passed, and no one worries when dessert will begin. Thanksgiving dinner, the family all around. Some people you only see once a year, only when the food is passed about. Family gathered, best thing in the world, even makes it okay that my hero, Cousin Frankie, brought home some girl. And boom.
Yes, yes, yes. The joys of confusion.
There. All right, let us start with Pam, please.
Well, I very much enjoyed this. A nice read. I felt like your read fit the pace of what you would expect a large family Thanksgiving to be like. I like how there's the humor in this, and it talks about the joys, but also the chaos that comes with, you know, family all getting together. And I like especially, where it has, the mom, and saying, don't spoil your appetite. And you so badly, because I remember being a kid, and you so badly wanted something to eat, and you always had to wait until the last, or until the big meal. I like also the description of the food. I mean, this is making me hungry. The turkey, rich, golden brown, mashed potatoes, mound after mound, gravy boats full of aromas. Yep, definitely. And I see you mentioned the broccoli with hollandaise sauce, so that must, and I know you mentioned that was something that you're making for your Thanksgiving, so that must be a Thanksgiving tradition in your family.
Oh, yeah, my mother makes the best hollandaise sauce, never separated. Everybody thought it was wonderful, so it was like you didn't have broccoli without it, you know?
Oh, awesome. That sounds really good. Yeah, this is just a wonderful write, very delightful, very nostalgic, and I love that you show us a picture of your memories and your family, so very well done.
Very comprehensive stick, Pam. Thank you.
I always ran the kiddie table.
Tom normally reads his poems at a fairly slow pace. I like his increased reading speed to emphasize the tornadic activity that goes on Thanksgiving Day, maybe a few hours prior to everyone arriving or as people arrive. It really gave that sense of, well, I saw the word chaos used in one of the statements, but it's an organized chaos. It's just quick. It moves fast. Now, I appreciated this for the activity and for the beautiful, you made me very hungry with the rich, with the turkey, the rich golden brown, mashed potatoes, mound after mound. I dearly love mashed potatoes with gravy or just butter or even by themselves. Gravy boats full of aromas, broccoli with hollandaise sauce, green beans and small onions, and mushrooms stirred all around. I mean, my stomach literally cramped as I heard you read that. So, wow, tomorrow can't come soon enough. No, indeed. And Martha, please.
I thought it was great. It was a great picture of Thanksgiving, and I especially liked the line, the aromas tripped and sauntered out of the kitchen. That was really great.
It was. Thank you, Martha. And Jean.
Well, Thomas, I love this because, I remember when we had, we used to have a much bigger family than what I have now floating around. And when everybody would be there, there was always something going on coming from one direction or the other, whether it was the kids, the adults, my uncles, aunts, and, it was just always something. So I can relate to that, but not quite on such a grand scale. And I think that you did a really good job putting it out there and putting it in words and kind of painting that picture. It definitely was nicely done. And it was enjoyable, very much so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Let me see now. Okay, Ms. Martha, I have your piece up next.
Okay.
A man who cooks for me. I love it when a man cooks for me. I think it's as sexy as it can be. When I watch him do those kitchen things, it makes my heart sing. When I watch him stir in the pot, it gives me all kinds of sexy thoughts. And any man who cooks me Thanksgiving dinner, in my book, that guy's a winner. I love to watch him working in the kitchen hard. It gives me palpitations of the heart. Yeah, it's so sexy, what can I say? It makes me want to please him in every way. Yeah, he's got me thinking sexy things. When his magic to the kitchen he brings. When I watch him rubbing that jerky skin, I can't wait to rub some things on him. I love to watch him working in the kitchen hard. It gives me palpitations of the heart. Yeah, it's so sexy, what can I say? It makes me want to please him in every way. So you can keep your candy and your flowers. I'll take a man who displays his culinary powers. When I see him standing with that gorgeous turkey in a pan, I can hardly wait to take that man in hand.
I'll take you. I'll tell you what. This poem makes me want to go out and rub turkey skin in the worst way. I mean, really. This is very funny. I enjoyed the palpitations. The, where is that? Well, actually, each stanza kind of says the same thing, but then says it in a different way. It makes you smile each time. Yeah, he's got me thinking sexy things when his magic to the kitchen he brings. When I watch him rubbing that turkey skin, I can't wait to rub some things on him. That's very nice. Very enjoyable, dear. Very enjoyable. Tom, please.
Well, as someone who does cook, and when I retired before my wife, I took over all the cooking because it only seemed fair. And she was occasionally going, God, this is better than I get in a restaurant, which was always nice to hear. But this is done with enough innuendos that if you have a man who cooks and who's good at it, I think he'd probably be very delighted to be seen as being so sexy at the same time. So the humor is dynamite. The innuendo is broad and delicious. Very well done, Martha.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. And Pam.
Yeah, I have to agree. This was just wonderful use of humorous innuendos. I like how, as always, it's really a nice flow to the song. Really just a cheerful sound. And I really like where it says, I love to watch him working in the kitchen hard. It gives me palpitations of the heart. Yeah, it's so sexy. What can I say? It makes me want to please him in every way. And then that ending stanza was great, too. But I really think this is just a wonderful write on, you know, the delights of a man that can cook and then heat things up in other parts of the house. So excellent writing, very well done.
Pam always has le bon mot, the good word. And Jean, please. Off mute there, Jean.
That really ruins my, that cramps my style, taking it off mute. Martha,
well,
you did a great job with it. It was a fun piece, clever and well written. And thanks for the smile. It was good. Nice stuff. Okay. Awesome. And you know, just so everybody knows, Casey Day is going to call in and record. Anybody
really?
Who wants to write a cheeky piece should be able to call in and read her cheeky piece. Yes.
I thought you were going to have it read.
It's only short. I think you can do it. I have faith. I do. Okay, now, for our next magic trick, I have a piece by Pam Ray. Pam Ray.
Yep.
Ray.
This is, well...
Who is that?
This is, well, so I don't know what you would call this poem. I guess you would probably call it corny or cheeky or something like that. And all over the place as far as rhyme goes. But anyways, this is I Want, and it goes like this. I want a sexy Thanksgiving with plenty of taking and giving, with plenty of eating and plenty of treating and plenty of groping and grabbing. I want a Thanksgiving seduction with plenty of suction. My followed instructions, a masterfully played production with not a bit of reduction. I want Thanksgiving wishes, main courses, and side dishes. Nothing suspicious, just meat that's delicious and some pie offered up for some nibbles and kisses. I want some Thanksgiving fare, the giblets and gravy, it all drives me crazy and I'll gobble it up with some flair. I want a man who can cook who and thinks leggings are a hot look. He'll lick mashed taters for my smile, then linger a while to slather each cranny and nook. I want some corn on the cob. I'll pour on the butter and with a moan and sweet mutters, swallow on down like a slob. No napkins required for these spills of desire. I want second helpings and desserts, but keep off the pants and the shirts. I want heat in the kitchen, dishes and counters, soapy and wet. And while you are working at scrubbing and squirting, you'll realize I'm so damn good when I want and I get. End poem.
Bravo, Pam. Bravo. Thomas, please start us off.
Yes. I can tell it's simply about eating. And then again, it's about eating and groping and food, and there's much food for thought, too, and it definitely has enough innuendo in it that in the end you wonder about it completely. I think you went just about every place you could go with a Thanksgiving dinner and a man who can cook without getting completely out of control.
Yeah, I try to keep myself under control.
it's not easy,
but I try.
I mean, the reins you use on your control must be quite large. Good strapping leather. Well, that's a whole other topic. Anyway, very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I want second helpings and dessert. Let's keep off the pants and the shirts. I want heat in the kitchen, dishes and counters soapy and wet, and while you are working and scrubbing and squirting, you'll realize I'm so damn good when I want and I get. I like the style of this poem. I like the longer stanzas and the inventive rhyming. Your wordplay and innuendo is skillful, it's humorous, and you lay out a reason, you lay out when a kitchen is hot for an entirely different reason. I love this piece. I thought it was very good. And
Martha dropped.
And then Jean, please.
Pam, oh, Pam, oh, Pam. You are such a devilish little girl. I was racking up. I had to mute myself right from the get-go because I said, oh, she's so bad, you know. But definitely fun, great rhyming throughout. You nailed the prompts, as in the prompt as for the fun Thanksgiving and the art of seduction. You definitely hit the nail on the head, I have to say, you know. There might not be a picture to encompass this, although I think that there was. Maybe a few. But we won't get into how many of those you could pull into this. So. But definitely a great job. Fun and just on the money. So I appreciate
thank
that.
You.
And thank you, Zoe.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun to write for. Thank you for the inspiration.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you were inspired when you heard me on the phone today going, oh, my God. But it's all good. I appreciate you. All right. We have another caller. Who, pray tell, do you think this might be? I bet you it's the cheap girl. Hello, 701. Who is calling?
Hi, guys. It's me.
Be careful
it's
what you
write. I'm making strawberry turnovers as well. So, you know, I had kind of an excuse.
No. Strawberry turnovers, they'll be there when you're done. Let me see. I have to go. Poem. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to put it up for you. That way you. And everybody else can too. Okay.
Yay. Okay. This is Dirty Turkey. Okay. Okay, I got this. You got this. Okay. I'm thankful for the way he whispers my name. When he needs a little heaven in the middle of the day, I love that he calls me angel even when I'm bad. Tells me he needs me. I'm the best he's ever had. Blindfolds keep me guessing, but with gags can't say a word. He likes to stuff me like a Thanksgiving bird. End poem. So there you go. That's it.
That's a hell of a turkey.
I think Lauren's on mute.
Oh, I am indeed. Well, I was kind of preparing myself so that I wouldn't broadcast an indrawn breath when I heard the poem, but it was safe. It was safe. It was appropriately dirty. I understand that the blindfold and the gags. But you know how you always tie the turkey legs and stuff? I won't go with that question, but that's fine. Let's go to Tom, please.
Yeah, like I said, one hell of a turkey. I think it's rather nicely subtle in its own way, with a certain sense of humor that betrays all the innuendo. So that while it is perhaps risque, at the same time, it's got a certain wit to it that leaves one with both a smile and a twinkle in their eye. Very well done. Great job, Casey.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. And Pam, please.
Well, first of all, I like how this spells out the word thanks. And I believe this is a certain form of acrostic, isn't it?
I was just kind of rolling with it.
Okay. Well, I know Edgar Allan Poe one time wrote a love poem for a woman, but her name, and I can't remember which poem it is. I'd have to, like, search it. But her name is actually in the poem, but instead of having it be an acrostic where it's just straight down, there's a certain like number you count, certain number of lines or for each, you know, words for each line, and that's where the next word letter comes in. So it's kind of like this, to where it's like, you know, all over the place, and you have to, and you can find her name in the poem itself. But yeah, I like how you did that with thanks, and I like
and I think this is delightfully cheeky. You know, it's just got that just right balance of humor, the innuendos, the sensuality, you know, I thought that was like this really a clever ending. He likes to stuff me like a Thanksgiving bird. Really excellent write and very well done.
Thank you.
I'm glad you kept this short, Kel. I think I mentioned earlier in the night that sometimes short poems are more impacts than longer poems. And I absolutely still have that to say. Because that last line, he likes to stuff me like a Thanksgiving bird, almost strikes me as the first line that entered your head, and then you built around it. I mean, I may be wrong. I don't know. But I did like it. I like the length, and I like what you did with it. And most of all, I like hearing your voice. Nice when you call me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Jean?
Well, and there was Casey Day. She decided to call that one. I thought it was a great job, Casey. It was short. It was well done. You know, a little on the risque side, but hey, you know, why not? That's what the audio seduction's for. But, yeah. And it's always better to call in and read your own stuff sometimes, especially when it's cheeky. But, you know, I would be crazy if I had to read that. See? Not really. I have a doozy coming up.
But, oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It's always good. It's always good.
Thank
people
you.
Like your, yeah, absolutely. So I am down to one poem. 11:30. Not too bad. Not too bad. Now I have to find the.
Will you need us to run and grab things?
Well, every time I do that, then I end up with too many.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah,
good
that
point.
Every time, then I feel bad because I had people running to get things. So I'm going to read this one. I was going to give it to Laurent, and then I read it, and I went, oh, I don't think that would be a good idea. And then I couldn't give it to Tom either because that wouldn't work. And you had to read your own, Pam. So I went, well, you know. So I have the cheekiest poem of the evening, I think.
Oh,
there you go.
Well.
Go figure. Go figure. I don't know. I'll be blushing like crazy. But it's all right. Won't be the first time.
Blush you? I doubt it.
And it won't be the last either.
Exactly. Okay. Now this poem is by Gerald Green. And for once he did not use it as a SoundCloud, and I can tell you why. I almost shut down the whole darn computer. This is called Thanksgiving Invitation by Gerald Green. My apron is almost untied whenever I'm baking inside, so don't be so shy to sample my pie and see what my apron can't hide. The pumpkin's delicious and sweet, depending on how slow you are. When you take your time while sipping my wine, you'll savor more passion than heat. If you like this posture and view, I'll tease with my sexy tattoo, the one just from me that no one can see, but maybe I'll share it with you. My panties are laced with flair, responding to hunger and stare. They shimmer and shake, wriggle and quake, depending on how much I dare. Come closer and then I will smile. Let's diddle and dance for a while. Your touch will excite, my pie will delight, with cream and a little beguile. Tim's poem.
Jean, that was well read. I can see why you wanted to read that. It's appealing, especially when read by a woman. And as far as Mr. Green is concerned, bravo, Gerald. A gold-worthy poem, I think. Your rhyming is perfect. The innuendo is perfectly phrased. Highly enjoyable. Thomas, please.
Well, you definitely kept the meter moving smoothly, and You know, you know the kind of poem where the beat is everything. Anyway, he does a great job at playing gently with the innuendos and at the same time making sure we understand this is obviously a poem about cooking and Thanksgiving, but at the same time, he allows the flames of desire to show their heat. I mean, you know, if you like this posture and view, I'll tease you with a sexy tattoo, the one just for me that no one can see, but maybe I'll share it with you. I think he did a really nice job of playing with the innuendos and kept a certain wry wit going right on with it at the same time. Quite well done.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Thank you, Thomas. And Pam, please.
Oh, this was definitely delightful and fun. Great use of humor and the innuendos. Wonderful rhyme and flow. I like how he brings the sensuality into it. And, of course, you know, the favorite dessert of pumpkin pie. And, you know, really clever use of metaphors and imagery. But at the same time, it's straightforward, but without crossing any lines. I think he just really has a great balance with this poem, and it was really enjoyable to read and listen to, so very well done.
Laurent.
Sorry.
Are you on mute?
That's Eugene.
Oh.
I well, I think that Gerald did an excellent job with it. You know, I think he nailed that prompt, literally. Like, just, he made it his own. I've never seen him write in a female voice before, and I thought he did an exceptional job with that. The rhyme was great. The meter was great. You know, yeah, it was good. It was very good. And I'm telling you, I really did. I had it, like, all lined up for you to read, Laurent. And some reason I scanned down, like, the left side of the poem, and I saw my panties are laced with a flare, and I went, what? I can see Pam now saying, I think this should be read by a woman. You can hear her already. I think I better take a double check on this one. But then, you know, it was down there. Well, you know, we just don't want you to look silly in your lace panties. We don't want to, you know, make that all public.
A man can't have a teenager? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, never mind. Whatever. Whatever you said, I didn't get the gist of it. But okay.
Obviously.
I didn't, honest. I wouldn't lie about it. But it definitely was well done. And I want to thank you, Gerald, for that. Now, it's 20 minutes of 12. If everybody would,
and you're
going to
give us early Thanksgiving.
I was trying to say that if everyone would grab a short poem, we could probably put them in. And Thomas did drop. So thank you, Thomas, for hanging with us tonight. We much appreciated that. And I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving tomorrow. Anyway, I don't know.
Did you want more Thanksgiving poems?
A short Thanksgiving poem, or, you know, I mean, just something simple. Yeah, it doesn't. Thanksgiving would be good if you have another one floating around.
Mm-hmm. What's her name?
Okay. Pam, Laurent, are you guys looking for something?
I already put mine on the board. And
okay.
I know the title looks like it's completely off, but it is off, but it's the end of the show, so. Exactly.
I'm going to put Pam's up while you guys find one. That'll just feel better. That way I get something going.
All right.
Okay, Pam, whenever you're ready.
All right. So this was, I wrote this for Rex's Tina Turner show. And, well, it only has one like, so I thought, what the heck, I'll bring it out. All right. And this is a Christmas wish, and it goes like this. I don't need much for Christmas, just legs like Tina Turner, the kind that reach way up high and make you believe they go on for miles. I'm not a greedy woman. I live in a fairly simple way with my short stems. But, Lord, if I could strut in heels without tripping, then I would have an awesome Christmas day. I appreciate that my legs are strong. Technically, there's really nothing wrong. But to have a set of Tina Turner gams would be as sweet as jalapeno jam. I don't need no wealth. I don't need fame, just long limbs with muscles, turns, and twists. I know this poem is out of sync and lame, but Tina Turner pegs are on my wish list. End poem.
Ben, nice job.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was good.
I figured I figured I'd just get my Christmas list wish started early. And I'd start with the important things.
Honest to God, that was a set of Tina Turner legs. Mm-hmm.
Right?
I suppose she can move. She can move. But God bless her. Great. That was a great write, though. I would have come up with that angle at any time. So very well done.
Thank you. Yeah, it was just having a bit of fun. And all that.
Right. And Laurent, you want to comment?
I, damn it, I didn't even hear the thing because I was looking so frantically for a piece. I'm sorry, Pam.
Oh, no worries. No worries.
Okay. See, how about you?
I thought it was really good. I was also looking, but I heard it. I thought it was really good. I like that you brought Christmas up. I thought that was kind of fun. I'm not a greedy woman. I live in a fairly simple way. But Lord, if I could strut in heels, then I would have an awesome Christmas day. I think that's my favorite line. Pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good. I guess I should come over here and check the board again.
Well, I found one. I found one, but do you want me to just stick the link in the room?
Yeah, I guess. I guess so, yeah. That'll work.
Yeah, look, I don't have many short pieces, and I got way too many serious pieces that wouldn't fit. So, I don't know. This is the shortest one I could find. It's called My Choice. You put a hole in my soul with a buckshot from your mouth, and yet you pleasure me endlessly from my north to my south. End poem.
Okay.
Just a little thing.
There you go. 4 years ago. Woo-hoo.
Doesn't really need commenting on. You know, it's just what it is.
I'm surprised. Put your hand on that one. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you were so quiet. You were searching.
I was.
Pam, do you want to comment first?
Oh, I enjoyed this. I like how it's that double-edged sword, that, you know, double-barreled shotgun. You know, it's really difficult to separate one line from the other because it's one of those brevities where you just really have to take the whole thing into it to enjoy it. But I do particularly like how you separate the two parts. You know, the idea of that buckshot that comes from her mouth burying into your soul with the "and yet," you know, and it just rhymes really nice. And, you know, sometimes if they know how to pleasure you from your north to your south, you're willing to put up with a few buckshots anywhere. So
you're right about that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Clever brevity there, Laurent, and very well done.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay, and Casey, how about you?
I thought this was really good. I like that it's a brevity. I like also that it's kind of the same size on both halves of that "and yet." It's really nice. It's kind of like, this is this side of her and this is that side of her. And, you know, this is where we're at. You're the "and yet" and the rest is her. It's really cool. I really enjoyed it. It was a good one.
Thank you, girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it was a great job. I don't remember this poem, which is funny because, well, you would think I would. But I think that, you know, I had a laugh at the buckshot. And I think that, yeah, you know, we pick our battles. These are battles. Take what, you know, what balances out sometimes, as Pam said. So, nice job. Although I must say, you do have a strange comment under there.
Wow. That think that's the wrong comment or the right comment on the wrong poem. That's what I think.
I would hope. Okay, and
I'm
Casey,
glad you love your mama.
Yeah. That's why I was like, got hung up there because I was like, what is that? You know.
I have to mute myself. I'm laughing.
Oh, God. Made me surprised. Okay. So, Casey, whenever you're ready.
Okay. All right. Well, this isn't a Thanksgiving poem, but I have a lot of short, sensual poems. So I picked one that was kind of more fallish. It was a library. You know the smell of old books, that leathery cedar smell that tingles your nose and shivers down the nape of your neck, tangling your senses in a delicious, fiery blanket. She smelled like that. My eyes danced over her body, slid over her hills and dipped into her sweet valleys, wondering how I could push her back into the shelves and spread her open like that copy of Milk and Honey sitting in her lap. Nobody would know. Aside from the shelves creaking and the thump, thump, thump. Hello, Space Cadet. Are you listening? What? I snapped back into reality.
Well, this is a little more provocative than the last one you read, which you had so much trepidation about reading her. Push her back into the shelves and spread her open like that copy of Milk and Honey sitting in her lap. Nobody would know. That was it. It's very provocative. Very well written piece. I like it. I love books so much, and the smell of old books to me is very pleasant. I had not ever connected it with seduction, but now I think I might. Nice job. And Jean, please. No, Pam. Pam, please.
Yeah, I enjoyed this. I thought it was a cleverly worded. I like how you spelled out library with the L-I-E to connect it to the whole idea of it being not in reality. That third stanza was just delightfully sensual. And then I like how you wake us up and bring us back into that reality with that quick snap of humor. So just a really clever write and very well done.
I guess that's for me now. Laurent seems to be busy at this weird time. I said
sorry,
it was a clever
piece. Again.
Yeah, clever piece, Casey. Nice and done. Must be quite like a little me. That's what I'm going to say about that. And, yeah, clever piece. That brings us to 11:51. Oh, God. Let me look and see. I don't think I have anything.
Great show tonight, Jean and Laurent.
Yeah, it was nice. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
I got this one. Let's see if we can't do this. Yeah, better hit this button. Crazy stuff. Okay. Here we go. First one I came up with. So, this is called Your Sleep. Yeah. By me, by the way. Right. I will never forget your hands on my body, or how your fingertips trace my every curve. Warmth of cheek, pregnant, what you call it. The most perfect poetry along my skin in a foreign tongue which looks electric. I will forever feel the flutter of our souls as they coalesce. But of all my cherished memories, it is your taste that helps. It is your tongue, flesh, and your lips. I will never forget flavors of copper and salt, mine from the deepest desires of our hearts and the hope.
Nice job. This is not an ancient one, but it's a year old, and I love the way it flows from the hands on the body and the fingertips tracing every curve to the warmth of the cheek. But that one statement, how you wrote your most perfect poetry along my skin in a foreign language with lips electric, is wonderful phrasing. Very evocative. Sensual, yes. But the lines, I will forever feel the flutter of our souls as they coalesced, brings it back into a more serious realm, so to speak. It's loving and it's tender and it's an expression of the heart. Well done, Jean Marie.
Mm-hmm.
And Kel, please.
Casey.
Or Casey, excuse me, Jesus. Casey,
okay.
Please.
I really like this. I like that the I will never forget repeats itself at the end. I like that you started out with something physical and then, you know, someone's taste is very, it's true to them, you know. There's not like two people. That sounds terrible. but you know, taste is a very personal thing. And so I love that it's something physical that could really, you know, it could be anybody, but then you get to something that you cherish that is truly personal. And I loved the brevity. Very well done.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much.
And fat,
very,
please.
Very much.
I have to say that ending with flavors of copper and salt make me think somebody enjoys a bit of biting. I thought this was a wonderful sensual rite that had that nice heartfelt romantic quality to it, a real sense of connection of bodies and minds and souls. And I really like how this is all about those memories cherished and the taste that haunts. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thank you,
Pam.
Thank you very much.
And Jean Marie, what did you think of Jean's poem?
I thought that Jean did a wonderful job with this poem. I think that it's probably one of my favorites of hers. Absolutely. I don't think that Jean, I don't think I could have done better than that, actually.
That's right. Bravo, mm-hmm. Bravo.
Yeah, she's a racy little thing.
That's
what I'll say about her. Anyway. So, anyway, it is 11:58. And I think that that about wraps us up for tonight. I want to thank everyone who called in. Thanks, Casey. Thanks, Pam. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Martha. And thank you, Loretta, for co-hosting with me, as always. And, yeah, it was a fun show, us devilish folks. And I want to thank everyone whose poetry was on the show tonight. I very much appreciated all of it. And enjoyable, definitely enjoyable. So, on that note, I think we're going to call it a night. How about that?
Okay.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, and the same to you. Pam, what's happening after? Oh, we don't have any show after this one tonight. Oh, we can sit back and put our feet up. All right. Works for me for tonight. Anyway. Take care, everybody. And, yeah, everybody have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy. Take care. Thank you.
Amen. Good night, all.
Mm-hmm.